Have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have. Through the best of times, through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you're Dom Perignon. Baby, what's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. You watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning that fucker and swinging my black flag high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word. We're all hypocrites, but you're a patriot. You thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone.
Hi, sorry about that. That was just a slight delay. Never mind. Hi, and welcome on another show on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is the Circle Day Show, and tonight for you, we have a guest that knows all about radio herself. She's a part of a radical internet radio show called Dissident Island. They broadcast every first and third Friday of every month on dissidentisland.org. Her name is Chickpea. Thank you for coming on, Chickpea.
Hi, thanks. And by the way, I really dig the intro song to your show.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
Say the least.
Yeah, we thought of. I kept using the original. Uh-huh. No, wait, let me think. No, I used another cover that I found on YouTube, uh-huh, which was really poor quality. And I was trying to contact the person. I was going, please, could you just do one for me? And then she didn't get back to me, which is fair enough. And then I just like, and then I. On the Circle Day Facebook, I just made an announcement and then someone got back to me and I was like, and then we just became friends ever since. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
She's the super power talented. Of social media, isn't
it? Yeah. I mean, Facebook's got its faults, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a quick way to keep in contact, isn't it? And make new contacts.
Email is so 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody answers their email anymore.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, we're not here to talk about that, are we?
I've actually got questions set up here. So,
cool.
Do you mind?
No, this is a total role reversal. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah,
so, but, I will answer the questions and you will ask them to me.
I just thought actually of a question just then, but let's just go with what I've got so far, otherwise my brain's going to just like melt. But so the first question, so how long have you been doing Dissident Island and how many of you are there?
Okay, so Dissident Island as a project has been around for almost 5 years. Our fifth birthday is actually coming up. Yay! It's going to be the second show in July, which is actually going to be an Olympic special, so people should watch out for that. So yeah, Dissident Island has been around for 5 years. I've been involved almost pretty much from the start. I got involved maybe 3 months into the project. And the number of people involved really varies. We kind of are a bit of an open, we have an open door, revolving door kind of policy. We have a lot of friends. We have a network of people that we tap on. But I'd say the core collective is between 5 and 7 people most of the time. So quite a small group of us dedicated to meeting weekly, making the shows happen, and yeah, being involved in the many other things that also make up Dissident Island, because we don't just do podcasts. We do lots of other stuff.
Yeah. And it's quite a tight group, isn't it, you've set up?
Yeah. It's quite tight. I think that making it a sort of separation between a political project or whatever, like something that you get involved in and the rest of your life, is problematic, at least to me. I like to have those boundaries. I like to kind of, you know, when we hang out as a collective, we talk about doing radio, we talk about making parties and doing 12-volt sound systems and all sorts of other personal stuff, like our social lives are very integrated and stuff. So yeah, we're definitely very close-knit.
Yeah, so that's the way to do it. Dissident Island has been involved with setting up free parties within squatting buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that and when you got that set up.
Okay, well, we have to fund our project doing radio and basically putting on other things, like going to protest camps and doing radio from there, or coordinating, you know, like basically panel shows and things like that. It takes equipment, you know, like I'm looking around this studio right now and I'm very much admiring everything, but quite frankly, we have a lot of the same stuff in our studio, maybe not as many compressors, to be honest. And we've joked actually amongst ourselves about getting a whole rack of them and just for kicks, you know, because it's geeky and fun. But yeah, decks, you know, like as in vinyl decks, because we always have DJs or some form of music on our show. Compressors, monitors, mics, all this stuff really costs a lot of money. Yeah. It's not always easy to skip it or get it out of a bin or like fix stuff secondhand. If you can, that's great. But yeah, we do need money. So but we don't just want to ask people for handouts. And the whole process of kind of applying for funding in the kind of charity world is problematic and has its own set of like limitations. So we are also really aligned with a lot of squatting and autonomous sort of space collectives. So we've just kind of had some opportunities to have parties in various autonomous spaces, free spaces, that have been squatted, and they've just been really, really great. I have some fantastic memories of that.
Yeah, I bet. Dissident Island is located at a place, in a building called LARC, stands for London Action Resource Centre.
Mm-hmm.
Is it called The Cage? Because that's what people keep going around saying, oh, the Dissident Island is in the cage.
Yeah.
But it's basically like an amazing labyrinth of radioactivity.
Yeah. It's funny because there's someone who's involved in LARC and the London Action Resource Centre who regularly gives tours when we're doing our shows. And he always comes down and he's like, this is Dissident Island. And we're always like, hey, yeah, thumbs up, you know, through people through the cage. And yeah, to explain to the listeners out there, we do have a cage. Basically, we got a gate that, I mean, it kind of looks like prison bars, but it's there for, not necessarily because we don't trust other people in the building or believe that people are going to steal our stuff, because, you know, quite frankly, who wants to do that? But who knows? Maybe people do. But basically, the point is to have that space kind of set up all the time, because what tends to happen in communal spaces is that people come in and just walk off with a lead and never replace it.
Yeah.
And then you come down and you're like, where's that XLR cable that we need to do our show?
It's
gone. So you need to kind of lock doors. But other than that, we've kind of built up our arsenal of equipment over the years, and now it's kind of impressive when you look at it. And just the other day, we were all together hanging out, we made a table and like with the hole in it to mount our mics, and like, you know, it gets really specialized, which is really cool, because when you get involved in a DIY kind of project like that, you learn more, and you customize things slowly, and you make everything your own. And like, we finally have that home. And because for a while we were in various squatted social centers, we were in Rampart, we were in various other places as well. And what happened is we just got a bit tired of having to move all that stuff and not have a permanent setup. And so I'd say for the first 2.5 years of the project, we were constantly moving. For a while in Lark, actually, we used to tat everything down at the end of every show, and at the beginning of every show, I should say, at the beginning of every show, everything would be stored in the basement, and we'd drag it up 2 flights of stairs, set it all up, and then do the show. But to be honest, I'm really kind of glad we went through that process, because we learned a lot about our equipment, how it works, how to set it up, because it is something that you learn through repetition. Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, you're definitely established there now, and it is definitely like part of the building, and it does complete it actually, because I mean, it just offers another thing that we can offer in some sense. Yeah,
and it's nice to be able to invite people, because like our show, which I haven't actually talked about very much, to be honest, our show is kind of a mishmash of various radical political activity that's happening not only in London but the UK and beyond, to be honest. We talk to groups in the UK and Australia, on the continent. If we had more links with places like Asia and Africa, we'd definitely do that. We've had interviews from Greece repeatedly, for example, with and so we're trying to cover not only topical events but also kind of radical convergences, and also the way that very mainstream politics is affecting these kinds of subcultures and these radical political movements that are trying to struggle for a certain kind of social and environmental justice. And so LARC, the London Action Resource Centre, which is our home and our studio, is also a place where people can meet, have meetings. There's free yoga. There's free martial arts classes. There's a library that's open to the public that has a really fantastic range of radical literature and, you know, all sorts of philosophy and stuff like that. There's a piano there, which rarely gets used, but it would be nice to hear it used more often and stuff like that. And there's socials and film screenings. And so, like, having the radio studio there also kind of encourages more activity and stuff like that.
Yeah, because on the third Friday of every month, Red and Black Club coincides with that. I heard that was intentional as well.
Yeah, that was definitely intentional. Back when the WAG were in existence, the notorious Whitechapel
Anarchists.
Yeah, rest in peace, the WAG. We were definitely like friends with the WAG. We were kind of like, yeah, we were talking about the fact that. So, you know, like if anyone living in London, anyone living in any major city in the world who's listening to this understands me when I say that space is super commoditized. If you want to hang out with people, you basically have to be spending loads of money. And that sucks if you don't have money. And what are you supposed to do? Isolate yourself? And so, and it's also a principle. Sometimes you don't want to be in a space spending your money in a particular way. And you don't want to have to be buying something. You don't want to have to constantly being consuming things like coffee or beer or whatever. So we were kind of like, we need a space to socialize, because what ends up happening in like a lot of political radical sort of scenes, if you want to call it that, meetings end up being your social life. And I've been in that situation before, where my life consists of 4 or 5 meetings a week, and it's just, I mean, it's judgmental to say that's a bit sad, but it is on some level, because I shouldn't have to meet cool people that I enjoy discussing things with in a meeting where we always have to be doing something structured. I mean, it's nice to be able to sit down and enjoy the couches and lark and, you know, turn down the lights and put on some music and hang out. So, yeah, that was kind of the idea because, you know, one of the things about, again, back to Dissident Island, which is what I'm part of, the show itself is a really social show. Like, I'd say, I'm not sure we're actually trying to teach anything to anyone out there. And sometimes we get some information across. I mean, we're very humble about our show, to be honest, even though we put a huge amount of effort and stuff into it. But one of the things that we always walk away with a lot, because I shouldn't speak for all of us, but I would say there is a kind of collective feeling about the fact that there are networks that happen as a result of the show. So we interview one guest who's doing some sort of bicycle project that's genderqueer, and then we'll talk to a radical sex work university organizer, and the two of them come together and exchange numbers, and that relationship continues beyond our show. And that's, you know, that's one thing that we really liked. And I suppose that's kind of what's transferred over to the idea of having the Red and Black Club, which is a quite rowdy night. Mm. And it's nice to see there's constantly fresh faces as well coming through. And yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, no, that's really true. That's what I found with this show as well. Like when people come on, I do just continue to keep in contact with them. Yeah. You know, you just happen to get on and share the same ideas, don't you? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because where are those spaces that we lack, those type of places where we can, like you just said, where we can actually just meet up like-minded souls, because often you're just surrounded by people that don't really get you.
Yeah.
You know, or like you're the politico in the group or something. Oh, there she goes again, you know, ranting on about, you know, this and that. And it's like, ugh, really annoying. Yeah. But, like, you can escape that stereotype and pigeonhole that people put you in if you do hang out with people that that think like you do. And yeah, Lark is a place for that, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it's hopefully it can also be a place where cross-pollination can happen. So if you don't explicitly share a quote-unquote anarchist way of thinking but are interested in having a dialogue with someone who has those kinds of understandings about, you know, or I suppose I hate the word belief, but like a sort of desire to work towards that kind of thing on their personal and sort of political life. Yeah, why not? Stop by, have a beer, start a conversation, meet someone. Don't, like, that's one of the things that's not that great about living in a big city as well, is that people don't turn to each other and just talk and hang out and express each other's, like, you know. Yeah. Just have discussions and conversations and that.
Yeah, like, don't you dare smile at someone in the tube. They might cut you off to the nearest asylum they got. So next question. So who have been some of the most interesting people you have had on the show? Maybe one or two?
Wow, that's a really difficult question. Yeah. I just mentioned the sex workers Open University, and we did a sex worker special, which I'm particularly proud of myself and Anya, who is part of Distant Island as well. And I've gotten some really nice feedback about that show, where it's kind of helped people take a different perspective on sex work, because I think one thing that I don't want to tell people how to think. I don't want to tell them what to think or why they should think it. But it's nice to be constantly challenged. And I consider that for myself as well. And I think that working on that show really challenged my own ideas of what it means to be exploited as a worker and what sexuality is. I'd say that's one. And so the guests on that were really interesting.
Can I jump to the next question?
Yeah,
just because I'm conscious of time. So if you want to know about any more shows, you're going to have to listen to Distant Island, because you have got the shows up there, right?
Yeah, they're all on our archive. We're currently working on our website still a bit. Hopefully our archive soonish will be organized by group. And so basically, if you're interested in politics of any kind and want to learn something, you'll find something if you look through our archives, honestly. Yeah. 107 shows now.
Wow, that's an achievement. Yeah. Where are we? So Catalyst Radio is the new project that's just got underway. Mm-hmm. The Circle Day is also featured on that once a week. We have a spot there. So for the listeners who don't know, can you tell us about Catalyst Radio?
Okay, so the idea is that we as Indecent Island have been doing this project for a while, and we see more sort of radical radio shows popping up, interesting kind of political radio, as well as sort of different kinds of Creative Commons music shows, which would mean like non-commercial music, which we're very interested in, and which relates to also technical aspects of freedom behind software and hardware and things like that. But yeah, back to Catalyst. Yeah, the idea is to create some networks and also create a platform that we can share, because we've kind of picked up a little bit of an audience, and it would be nice to share that with other newer radio shows, right? And perhaps one day we're working towards doing something a bit more political community FM radio oriented, mm-hmm. but that is, you know, some ways away. So basically, if you're listening and you like radio, here's my pitch, my sales pitch to you out there. Just get involved by looking at the website, sending an email to the list, or if you're already making a radio show and you'd like to get it on somewhere new, just get in touch. Mm-hmm. There's loads of scope for involvement, mm-hmm. both like technical and every aspect. And we like to kind of, you know, try and dip our toes in all sorts of different waters. So yeah.
Yeah. It's great for work experience as well, for example. Like it's hands on and it's direct and So next question. In the pipeline is doing more workshops to teach others interested in radio how to do it themselves. I myself would like to participate in that. Mm-hmm. Any time frame with that, or is it just kind of like,
I think we're currently kind of, we as Indecent Island are kind of looking a little bit inward in terms of like trying to really set our studio up for the potential of opening it up to the use of other people, other groups, making it more of a resource. And to do that, you kind of have to make it quite organized and have a system. And we've been slowly working towards that. So I think in terms of workshops, we get offered spots to do things like that. The next big thing we're probably going to be doing will be something at the upcoming Anarchist Book Fair, because in case I haven't actually mentioned that, we kind of align ourselves with small A anarchism, and which is why I'm on the show, and which is why we put your show on Catalyst, because it's a very interesting show.
It fits kind of. We fit, yes. you are planned to have a show on Resonance, mm-hmm. while I take a step back for a bit, once a month. What have listeners got in store there?
Okay, so one of the things that ends up happening on Dissident Island is we go out, we record loads of stuff, and we have these really fantastic, interesting discussions, conversations, we record talks and workshops and da-da-da, and then we only have an hour to really air that. So I'll probably be taking certain interviews that I've really enjoyed and would like to share with the wider public, and just kind of edit them, but in a more fully fleshed version. So instead of, you know, an hour discussion or an hour conversation, I'll edit down to 30 minutes as opposed to a 10-minute kind of really tight interview that would end up featuring on something like Dissident Island, so which gives a little bit more scope and breadth for, like, getting it a bit deeper into things, which is nice. But, you know, it's also nice to have, like, short and snappy pieces sometimes. So,
Cool. We've actually, for the first time ever in history on the Circle Day, we got extra time. So can I please go back to the question, because that's quite interesting. So going back to shows you've done with Dissident Island. Mm-hmm. What else has kind of stuck in your memory that you've enjoyed incredibly?
Sure. I have to mention, we did a project called X26 Radio, and that wasn't just Dissident Island, but it was Dissident Island in collaboration with a technical project called Plenty Fact. Big kudos to that project for helping with the streaming and all the hosting and all that stuff, as well as some folks came down from Cabele Radio and from Bristol with Love and some other kind of radical radio projects, people up in Bradford at the 1 in 12 Club as well, and Indie Media London was a big part of that. And essentially, X26 Radio, you can kind of look at that via your search engine of choice. A 12-hour long broadcast on March 26th of last year, which if you were in London or in the UK, you might remember that there were a lot of people that took to the streets, about 500,000 estimated, and there were a lot of, somebody told me that it's a negative word to use the term riot, but when defined, I would say I suppose riot activity in central London, as well as a lot of police repression and all sorts of things. So we did a 12-hour long stream in which we had live reports from the streets from people who were right. We talked to someone, for example, who was talking to us about 5 minutes after the windows of the Ritz had been smashed right there. And in fact, he's been on your show. And Martin.
Yeah. that's what I was thinking of.
So we basically, over the years, we've created this huge network of people that we were able to tap. And we told them what we were doing. They were like, hell yeah, I'm going to be on the streets. I'm going to have my phone. And yeah, if you want a report, I will give you one. And it ended up being this interesting sort of back and forth as well, because they'd call us and tell us what they were seeing, and then they'd tell us that they'd also been tuning in, because we had the internet radio stream going, of course, which was, we had a high bandwidth one for people on their computers and a low bandwidth one for mobile phones. We also had a one-day-only FM pirate transmission, which could be picked up anywhere in central London. So that was a really cool project. It took a lot of energy, but it was incredible. And we had some sound systems out as well that were playing the various reports and everything. So maybe something like that can happen again in the future. I'd say I've really just enjoyed the variety of guests that have been on, and I have a lot of good memories of the two climate camps that we did radio from, the King's North Climate Camp and the Blackheath Climate Camp. Again, incredibly energy depriving experiences on some level, but really awesome in that you just end up connecting with so many people. And both times we did an FM pirate transmission, and there's something really cool about the fact that we actually got reports from people in the Blackheath one in particular, because we were so close to residences, that there were neighbors that were tuning in and listening to the
That's
shows.
So cool.
And a woman came over and told us that. And another guy as well, who's since been on our show to talk about his punk scene. So it's like it's all about creating those networks and making, at least for me, I find that really fascinating and interesting.
And it does offer listeners a true account of events, isn't it, as well? Because, we can't always rely on mainstream media. Some might say
definitely
never, but most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
I think we've got enough time for the last question, which was, how did it feel to be asked the questions rather than be given the questions?
I just realized how chatty I am and how much I talk. Because I'm looking at the clock in front of me. I'm like, how on earth did I manage to talk for that long? I don't know. But now it's nice to have the roles reversed.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
All right, then, time for the outro, I think. Well, yeah, this is it. I've enjoyed the show immensely. Thank you very much,
Chickpea,
for coming on. Don't forget to listen to Dissident Island show, go to dissidentisland.org.
Yeah, dissidentisland.org. Yep. And you can email us, you can sign up to the list, you can find our podcast, and yeah.
Cool, great. Thank you very much for listening. Until next week, turn on, tune in, and kick off.
Resonance 104.4 FM.
Why should I listen to Resonance?
It's food for you.
What does it do?
Everything the other radios don't.
What kind of everything?
Diverse programs, all kinds of music, international magazines. You can learn.